So I'm going to talk about Jobson effect in two weakly linked Bose-Einstein condensate. The idea is known. Let's consider a single trapped condensate that can be divided into more or less symmetric parts by a far-off resonance laser sheet. If the barrier created by the laser is not too high, you could observe coherent oscillation in the population of each trap. A different way to create a weak link has been just discussed yesterday by Wyman. Many groups have been working this problem in the for non-interacting bosons and problem related with the quantum measurement, as well as considered small amplitude oscillation in the population of each trap. Damping effects have been also considered due to finite temperatures. Quantum correction of the coherence has been also studied. This is by no means an exhaustive list of references. So let me outline my talk. So I'm going to introduce the quantum nonlinear two-mode model that we are using to study the Jobson effect. And I will focus on the search for new dynamical regimes that are not accessible with superconducting Jobson junctions. In particular, I will talk about large amplitude oscillations in the population of each trap, and the microscopic quantum self-trapping, that is a self-maintained population imbalance that breaks the symmetry of the oscillations. Then, we talk about pi oscillations, that are oscillations in which the phase, the average value of the phase across the junction is equal to pi. If we have time, I'll discuss some of the approximations that we have done. In particular, we briefly talk about the quantum corrections to the mean field approximation. And finally, I will briefly discuss about a quite recent experiment that's been done at the University of Berkeley by Packer and the collaborators, where they have observed Josephson pi oscillations between two weakly linked reservoir of helium 3D, and where we believe that these pi oscillations are the analogs to the pi oscillations that are predicted can occur for gas of bosons. So we have studied the coherent tunneling by using a simple nonlinear two-mode approximations in where C is the amplitude to find N atoms in the trap 1 or 2, and theta are the respective phases. E0, U, and K are constant real numbers, which expression in terms of spatial gross Pitaisky wave function would be later, but right now we see that E0 is just proportional to the zero-point energy of the condensate in each trap. UN is just proportional to the mean field energy, and K is related with the Josephson coupling energy for our system. Okay, it's convenient to rewrite this equation in a different form in terms of population imbalances. So let me define Z as the difference between the number of atoms in the trap 1 and the trap 2 divided by the total number of atoms, and where phi is the difference between the phases of the two condensates. For two symmetric traps, delta E is going to be 0, and let me also define a dimensionless time. So the only parameters that enter in our equations that depends by the geometry of the system and by the total number of atoms is lambda. The is defined as the ratio between the mean field energy and the Johnson coupling energy. That for positive scattering length is going to be positive. Okay, I'm just considering the classical evolution, so Gross-Pitaisky evolution, so mean field. Okay, the real numbers. Let me just notice that the current, the proportion to zeta dot in superconducting junctions, is just proportional to sinc of phi, because in superconducting junctions, the imbalance between the number of Cooper pairs is always zero. So these two terms disappear, and phi dot is going to be proportional just to the voltage difference across the junction. And also the nonlinear term in Z is going to become 1. So these two equations can be considered as a nonlinear in Z generalization of the Johnson equation. Let me note that the two equations that are already just there can be solved analytically in terms of Jacobian and Lagrangian elliptic functions. And for lambda equal to 0, there's non interacting limit, they just describe the radio oscillations. Okay, you can use a mechanical analogs to in which the Boson-Johnson junction equation can be derived by the Hamiltonian of a non-rigid pendulum, which length is proportional to the square root from minus zeta square. So this is the total energy of our systems that can be considered as the Hamiltonian, as I already said, of a non-rigid pendulum, which length is proportional to this term here. So z and phi are going to be conjugate variables that just satisfy uncertainty principle. The closest analog of the our Boson-Johnson junction equation is provided by two weakly linked superconducting grains without an external circuit. However, even perform mesoscopic systems, because of NT that is macroscopically large, in order to don't destroy the Cooper pair, the Johnson requirement that the voltage across the junction should be not that high to destroy the gap, the Cooper pair, imply that Z, the population imbalance, should be very small. So what I mean is that for superconducting systems, only small amplitude oscillation on the pendulum are observable. They are called in literature plasma oscillations. They are going to be the order of the gigahertz.
Just clarify that point. Do you mean by small amplitude
right,
that pi doesn't never get to the pi, or rather the
it's always close to zero. So small amplitude oscillation this way for the pendulum. Small population imbalance, angles are fair angles. There are two insulated grains.
Good. Okay,
very good. Okay, so the key point there is that the Boson-Johnson junction is a neutral system. Then we can observe large population imbalances oscillations. As a consequence, it's possible to reach dynamical regimes that are not accessible for superconducting charged systems. On top of, it's possible to tailor the traps by modulating the frequency magnetic fields of the Hadley barrier. Such a way is possible to search for the analogs of the AC Shapir effect that occurs in superconducting junctions. Okay.
Can you explain why what is impossible in case of Johnson? Because it's possible to have a large difference in phase, but you require a small difference in phase.
That's true. Right. That's true. But there is a key difference between Josephson junctions and with an external circuit, and with an external circuit, and with the RO system. Josephson junction with an external circuit, the population imbalance between Cooper pairs is always zero because they're external circuits. Okay. In our case, we can have a different population in the bosons in each trap.
So it's not connected just to small samples of large,
yes, but there is the voltage instead of the Cooper pair imbalances later on. Okay? But the physics is different. Mathematically, there is the rigid pendulum equation. Here is no rigid pendulum, but the physics is different. Okay, let me look for the stationary solution of a problem so also we can expect we have symmetric and asymmetric and stationary solution of the Gross-Pitesque equations, but because of the nonlinearity of our system, we have two degenerate states that breaks the symmetry of the populations. So what I mean is that for whenever lambda is greater than 1, there is a stationary solution of the Gross-Pitesque equation which the difference of phase between the two population is pi, and the number of atoms in one trap is greater than the number of atoms in other traps. This is still a stationary solution of our problem. Okay.
But it's always a relation between tunneling and change of chemical potential, which is what's really discussed.
Okay, then we can discuss a small ampere oscillation as an analog of the plasma oscillation for charged systems that occur whenever Z, population imbalance, is quite small and the phase is around zero. So linearizing our equations, we have the frequency for boson systems is going to be the order of between 10 and 100 Hz, while the frequency of plasma oscillations are the order of gigahertz. Comparing the two formulas, we see that U is an analog of the charging energy to the conducting junction, and 2kN is the quantity proportional to the Josephson coupling energy for our systems. Then, as already said, we can use the pendulum analogy. So small amplitude oscillation pendulum corresponds to the plasma oscillations. Large amplitude oscillations correspond to an average value of Z and phi that are still equal to zero, but we can also have full cycle oscillation of the bob in which the average value of population imbalance is different from zero and the phase is running from zero to infinity. So these macroscopic self-trapped states occurs whenever the energy that is dependent by initial conditions is greater than one, it should be considered as a genuine nonlinear effect that originates from the nonlinear interaction in the Gross-Pitesque equation. What do you mean by random?
It's not zero, but
it's small.
One? It's not one. Okay, this is a partial.
You mean small or large?
Partial.
Ah, excuse me, I don't. Yes.
Is the phase in that case completely random? Or is it only random in the case where it would be one?
You mean this case? No. I mean, you start from some initial condition for your zeta zero and phi zero. Then you leave the systems, and the phase start to run from the initial value to infinity, because it's a full circulation of the pendulum. Okay?
It's not a random variable.
No, no, it's not. They are deterministic equations. Okay? So, I mean, the phase of the system, the difference phase between the systems is just the angle of the pendulum along the axis. Well, if you wish, similar to that. Okay, let me show how the oscillation looks like. So we have the prosaic sinusoidal oscillation for the small amplitude oscillation of the pendulum, then you have a large amplitude oscillation. So what I'm showing here is Z, population imbalance, as a function of time. I'm increasing the initial value of the population imbalance, so this is 0.1, 0.5, and so on. And the initial value of the phase difference is 0. Lambda shows to be 10. So increasing the initial population imbalance, you see that you have anharmonic oscillations. Then you have a critical slowing down, corresponding to the bob holding the top of the pendulum. And then you have the running solutions, in which the population is self-trapped, with an average value that is different from 0. If you plot the phase at function time, it goes from the initial value to infinity. Okay, the linearity of the systems, because of the linearity of the system, the Boson-Jobson junction equation supports stable oscillations in which the average value of the phase is equal to pi. To see this, let's linearize our equation for small population imbalance, and the two equations can be rewritten as phi double dot proportional to sine phi plus an Eigenhofer term. Then, if you use a mechanical analog in which phi is just the coordinate of a particle, and this is the force acting on the particle, we have this potential in which the particle moves, and whenever lambda is smaller than 1, we have a small valley here in which the particle can make small amplitude oscillations, and which average value of the phase is pi. Okay, even in this case, we have large amplitude oscillations, but the pendulum analogies really doesn't work so well, in the sense, okay, pi oscillations are oscillations in which the phase is equal to pi, the average value, and then small amplitude oscillation corresponds to the pendulum bob oscillating on the top of the pendulum itself. Then you have the large amplitude oscillations and the self-trapped oscillations, in which we have two kinds of trajectory. One in which the average value of z is always greater than the stationary value of z that I discussed before, and the other one is in which the average value of z is always smaller than that. So we have two kinds of self-trapping states. In all these dynamical regimes, the average value of the phase is still equal to pi. So there are no running solutions in this case. Okay, this is how the oscillation looks like. We have the small amplitude oscillation. Let's keep increasing lambda. We have large amplitude non-sinusoidal oscillations. Then we have the critical slowing down, corresponding to the bob of the pendulum holding the top of the pendulum itself. The stationary value of z, this is the green line. A self-trapped oscillation, which the average value of z is always greater than the stationary value. And other trapped oscillation, which the average value is smaller than this. Okay. So let me show you how the inverse periods as a function of theta 0. So it is in this inverse period of oscillation as a function of theta 0 divided by the critical value, above that we have self-trapping. Then for small theta 0, we have plasma oscillation, small amplitude oscillation, large amplitude oscillation, then we have critical slowing down with a period that diverges logarithmically. So this region corresponds to trapped oscillation, and in this region we have the self-trapping oscillation. The two lines correspond to different values of lambda, lambda equal 10, lambda equal 100. This period corresponds to initial value of the phase equal to 0. For pi oscillations, the situation is different. We have the self-trapping states in this region with the inverse period that increase, then diverge, and untrapped oscillations, just on the right part.
Maybe it was in the cell that the self-trade situation. What does that mean in your case? There is oscillation or not?
Okay.
No, by definition,
there are oscillations, but not symmetric around the point z equal to zero. So there are. Let me show the figures. It's quite simple. Okay, this is an example of self-trapped oscillations. You see, there are oscillations, but average value z is different from zero, so they are not symmetric around the equal population state. No, they remain self-trapped in this sense.
Yes, but nevertheless, two particles, one particle can move from left to right?
Yeah, no. I mean, this, okay, zeta is different from zero, so you have a larger number in average, larger number of atoms in the trap one than in the trap two. So you have oscillation like this.
Yes, but it's only on the level of one particle. It's an important question for me.
Yeah.
You cannot transfer from left to right one particle.
Okay.
What?
Some of these are going to the other trap. Yes. You see, there are oscillations here. So some of the atoms that are in the trap two go in the trap one. Of course, there are some oscillations.
No, my question was excellent. Because if you're tunneling,
there is no tunneling here. These are semi-classical descriptions. I'm not talking about tunneling.
No, but the parameter of transition from left to right.
Yes.
You have something like Coulomb-Lacay.
This is the language of less to human. I'm sorry, I think we can keep discussing that. Okay, let me summarize all these dynamical regimes, showing you the first portrait of the systems in which, okay, the dark line corresponds to initial value of the phase equal to zero. So for small lambda, we have Rabi-like oscillations. Then increasing lambda, we have a non-sinusoidal oscillation, a separatrix. And then we have, for lambda greater than some critical value, self-trapped oscillation, which the average value z is different from zero, and the phase is running from minus infinity to infinity. The green line corresponds to initial value of the phase is equal to pi. So you see that increasing lambda, the area enclosed by the trajectory shrink till you have self-trapped states. So, let's go. Okay, now let me discuss briefly how the two-mode approximation can be derived from the Gross-Pitesque equation. So our ansatz is to write for the total wave function of the system as a sum of two wave functions that are localized in each trap, and where we factorize out the temporal dependence of the wave function by the spatial dependence. So phi 1 and phi 2, that are the localized states, can be written in terms of sum and difference between the exact symmetric and antisymmetric eigenstate of the Gross-Pitesque equations. And in principle, we can consider systems with a very large number of atoms. There are no limitations like Thomas Fermi regimes or non-interacting limits. Okay, let's just note that phi 1 and phi 2 are orthogonal, and we can consider them normalized to 1. So, replacing our variation of the functions in the Gross-Pitesque equations, we have explicit expression for E0 that is going to be proportional to the zero-point energy of our systems, U related with the mean field energy of the systems, and K that depends by the overlaps of wave functions in the tunnel in the barrier region. Okay, let me discuss briefly about the quantum correction of the mean field dynamics. We can rewrite our Hamiltonian in terms of angular momentum operators that are defined in terms of creation and destruction operators of atoms in each trap. So this is a two-mode approximation in the quantum two-mode approximation. So because of the symmetry of the Hamiltonian, the average value of Jz in time, they are proportional to the average value of zeta, the population imbalance, in time, is always going equal to zero. So we can't have such states like macroscopic quantum self-trapping, and this is it's like a paradox for us, no? Let me recall that the semi-classical limits are just recovered by factorizing out the J square, the expectation value of the J square operator. Okay, let me show you how these oscillations looks like. Okay, is Z as a function of time for a small number of atoms, and for lambda greater than the critical value. So the green line corresponds to the semi-classical dynamics, and the dark line to the quantum, full quantum dynamics. So you can see that there are collapse and revivals on the amplitude of the oscillations, but the maximum of the amplitude nicely fit the semi-classical limits. And also in this time scale, the average value of Z is different from zero. So we have self-trapping states. In fact, if you go to much larger time scales, just compare the two time scales, we see that the average value of Z is oscillating around zero. So let me briefly discuss about the full numerical solutions for the Gross-Pitaisky equation, the time-dependent Gross-Pitaisky equation in the coordinate space, in which you are considered 10,000 atoms, a trap frequency consistent with the experiment done by at the MIT that I showed before. So this is our initial density in space, and we are going to look for the oscillations by solving fully the Gross-Pitaisky equations, just to see how good is the two-level mode approximation. Okay, seems that for small amplitude oscillations, we have our sinusoidal oscillations, so this is population imbalance as function time, but increasing the initial population imbalance, we see that even the full numerical solution has these anharmonic oscillations. And we see all these effects we have predicted in our very simple two-level model, like critical slowing down, self-trapping. Okay. So, to summarize, let me note that neutrality of the system allows for dynamical regimes that are not accessible with superconducting Josephson junction. So the question is, if there are other neutral superfluid systems, then can exhibit Josephson-like effects? The answer is yes. And I want to talk briefly about the quantum simulations between two weakly coupled reservoirs of superfluid helium 3B. Experiment has been done at the University of Berkeley by Packard and collaborators. So the weak link is provided by 4,000 small holes, which diameter and length are the same order of the coherent length. So there is a soft membrane that can oscillate according to the Josephson equation, and which oscillations are monitored by the squid input coil. Okay. So here there are the oscillations as a function for three different temperatures, but you see that this is the membrane displacement as a function time. You see that there are trapped oscillations for the membrane displacement, which average value decreases slowly because of dissipation, then the system jumps to a large amplitude oscillation regimes. These are trapped oscillations that correspond to full cycle oscillation of the pendulum. Pendulum equations come from the fact that the current of the system is going to be proportional to the velocity of the membrane displacement, and phi dot is proportional to the pressure across the junction. So the two equations can be cast in the form of rigid pendulum. So these are trapped oscillations corresponding to the full cycle oscillation of the pendulum. Okay, in a different experiment, this is the phase portrait of the system as a function of phi. In a different experiment, they have tried to drive the system, the membrane, to larger and larger amplitudes, till they observed that the system was jumping to new regimes where was freely oscillating around an average value of the phase equal to pi. The lifetime of this phase was kind of seconds. Then, because of numerical temperature noise in the system, the oscillation was jumping till the 2 pi state that is physically equivalent to the 0 pi state. So these are current phase relations. The red spot corresponds to the pi oscillations. And this is the free energy stored in the weak link that shows the metastable minimum on which the system can oscillate. This also be noted that the frequency of the pi oscillation has been found smaller than the frequency of the plasma oscillation in the system. Hence, this looks very like the pi oscillation that I was talking about before, which we have a small minimum around pi, and even for this, in this case, the frequency of the oscillations, the pi oscillation, are always smaller than the frequency around the plasma oscillation. So we believe that there's some analogy between the two cases. Okay, so let me conclude. The two weakly linked Gauss-Einstein condensate certainly provide a unique laboratory to test dynamical regimes that are not accessible with charged superconducting systems. In particular, we can observe large amplitude oscillation in the pendulum, macroscopic self-trapping, and pi oscillations. We can also test the phase, the temporal phase coherence between the two condensates versus dissipation effects, and the limit of validity of the Gross-Pitaisky equation to study this problem. Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
Can you talk interpret the Berkeley results on Union 3B as you did requires that you be in the rabbi regime, right, and lambda less than 1. Now, isn't that rather implausible in the geometry of
the head? Well, there is some work on progress. You are trying to recast the two problems. Okay, they are quite different problems. But what we believe that in the Berkeley experiment, what doesn't matter is the physics that it occurs inside the junction. I mean, the weak link in the orifice, in the hole. So if you take the hole in account, there is a huge cancellation between the effects that come from the bulk. So somehow from that reasons, there are strong connections between the two cases. There is some work on progress on that. We can keep discussing
it. I recognize the form of that, it's just that I don't want the numbers to work out.
Yes. Just to tell you that we have some indication that it's going to work with this analogy.
Do you have another question?
If the numbers also make this comment, I have to admit, I'm slightly confused by your remark that one never gets into any of these regimes with a superconducting system. Surely, if you simply want dynamical motion with the phase as it was going right through two times,
yes,
is that exactly how I understood it?
This for superconducting junction, you know?
Yes.
Okay, if I make sure that I am a transparency. Okay, let me discuss the difference between superconducting junctions with external circuit and our systems. So in the RSJ model, we have the bridge dependent equations, and phi dot is going to be proportional to the voltage across the junction. Okay? Okay, the key point is that the external circuit always suppress charge imbalances. So in this case, Z is going to be always equal to zero, where Z is the Cooper pairs number imbalance. In our case, we have imbalance of the condensate. So from that point of view, there is a physical difference. I agree with you that whenever I, the total current, is greater than the current going through the junctions, you have a full cycle oscillation, the rigid pendulum. But this is a mathematical analogy, okay? The physics is going to be different from that aspect. There are normal electrons that sustain the KDC effect. Okay, we can.
Any other comments?